It's the World Wrestling Federation. It's the Washington Wrestling Federation. They put on this show that they're bitter rivalries, you know, villains, and they really don't like each other. But behind closed doors, they buddy up for a drink and make deals.
Both the Republican and Democratic parties are owned by the same global elites. And on issues that matter to those global elites, they act as one.
They've wrapped themselves in the American flag, and they've talked about preserving American heritage and principles, and all the while they're working to merge us into a new world order where our sovereignty will be destroyed, we'll lose all connection with our American heritage.
With Bush, you knew exactly what you were getting. It was there was no iron fist in a velvet glove. It was just the iron fist. Whereas with Obama, you've got the velvet glove and the iron fist. You know, a very sharp guy, very smooth, knows exactly what he's doing. For that reason, far more dangerous than Bush.
Well, at the end of last year, I was willing to give Obama the benefit of the doubt. I thought it was premature to write this guy off. But now that he's been in office for a while, it's obvious that he is very tight with the Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan's on Wall Street, and he is extremely compliant and pliant to the wishes of the large banks, going back to what we saw with Robert Rubin under the Clinton administration, changing laws in favor of the banks, and he's not doing anything to stop the banks. He's helping the banks continue to do what they were doing under Bush. So, in fact, he's just a continuation of Bush on the subject of markets and finance, which is the most important part of his policy right now.
People who voted for Obama wanted real change, and they're getting platitudes, they're getting a lot of nice talk, but nothing in the way of concrete change is taking place. In this town, business as usual.
There's one puppet master that controls the left, and there's the same puppet master controls the right. They control the Republican Party, and they control the Democratic Party.
This is not a party issue. This is not a left-right issue. The question is, who should government serve? And it should serve the people.
In fact, government is just a tool of dominant minority that uses economics and government law to enforce upon the public various mandates.
The right-left paradigm in the U.S. and in U.S. politics is taken directly from the commercial world and the corporate world. In the business world, you have Coke, Pepsi, you have McDonald's, Burger King, you've got AT&T, Verizon, you know, you've got duopolies. And a duopoly gives the illusion of there being some competition and some choice. And it looks a little bit better than a monopoly. So, for example, in communist Russia, if they had communist Russia red and communist Russia chartreuse, there would have been the illusion of choice and something akin to democracy in Russia. But they simply said, forget it, we're just going to go with red. In the U.S., they have this left-right paradigm, which, unfortunately, it doesn't take them out of the hard, cold fact that there is no choice. There's no social justice. There's only one choice, which is to supply more rent to the rent seekers who have now taken the whole system hostage.
We've seen the limitations on government whittled away. We have seen this erosion to the point where today it seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the republic.
If the United States doesn't have its Bill of Rights and Constitution, it doesn't exist anymore. It's just more real estate, more dirt. And that's what these global corporatists want. They want to completely dismantle the Bill of Rights and Constitution, and they're doing that right now. This is the fall of the republic. Our nation is dying. We the people that live in this fine country need to stand up, get involved, and take the system back. It's the Bill of Rights and Constitution that we owe allegiance to, not to a political party, and not to politicians that wrap themselves in the red, white, and blue, while at the same time, they destroy everything that that sacred flag stands for.
Genesis Communications. back down. No, I won't back down.
Okay, until the end of the hour, Congressman Ron Paul joins us, and there is so much to talk about with the congressman. Of course, his son, Rand Paul, now the junior senator from Kentucky. And we're very excited to have him here with us today from his Lake Jackson office. Congressman, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
There's so much to talk about here. Out of the gates, you're now the chairman of that banking subcommittee dealing with the Federal Reserve, and it couldn't be a more perfect time. As the New York Times announces, the federal government is preparing to basically take the states in under receivership and their bankruptcy. And as the Chinese openly say that it's time for the dollar to not be the world reserve currency, can you speak to your concerns? A few years ago, you said something big is about to happen. Are we now on the cusp of that?
And it's going to get a lot worse. Even though we had this major crisis starting in 07-08, I thought that was just the beginning, because the real crisis comes with the dollar, when people lose confidence in the dollar. The dollar doesn't deserve confidence that it has. But you can put confidence in something that isn't real if you're deceived. And people are deceived that we are very wealthy and we have a great military, and therefore we can trust the United States because of our past performances. But eventually that is eroded, and people will reject it. And I think that we're witnessing that with the Chinese. The Chinese have, sadly, I guess, in a way, they have become more capitalistic than ours. I don't care about them becoming more capitalistic, but I don't like the idea that we become more militaristic and more socialistic. That's what's so bad. But they have their problems in China. But just think of what they've done. They produce and they save money. They take the money and they buy up resources around the world. They buy gold. They're a wealthy country. They loan us all this money. They're in the driver's seat. Don't you think that if you or I or any American was involved in that, we wouldn't be wanting to just be taking paper money that they know is going to depreciate? There would be a limit. And I think we're at that point. And when that happens, that will be a major event when the world rejects the dollar. So when it comes and how it comes and how quickly it comes, those are still unknowns. But it will come, and I think we're starting it to see it happen right now.
Absolutely. Congressman, as a doctor, as a congressperson, as someone who's been on the banking committees for many years and studied Austrian economics, for those that don't know, comparing our situation to the Weimar Republic, I see a lot of similarities. And we're already seeing inflation in commodities and inflation in food. What is the basic time frame that you see currently? And for those that don't know, what does dollar devaluation and the dollar losing world reserve currency status mean for people?
Well, it means higher prices and eventually higher interest rates, which means higher prices again. The government always reports statistics that are deceiving, and they tell us that inflation is like 1.5-2%, and yet if you talk to the average person, they know that prices are going up, and you're right about the commodities. There was a report yesterday, I think it was the S&P Commodity Index, for last year, a whole group of commodities, it was up at 24%. That's huge, and you can't have that and not have that translate into day-to-day living. And people know this. The energy prices are going to go up, and it wouldn't take much to push that oil up over $100. It's bouncing around there already, and which means the standard of living goes down. You know, if an individual borrows and they get into debt, but they live high on the hog and they buy more cars than they need and have a fancy house, and their job is just marginal, but if they lose their job or prices go up, they get wiped out, and they have to, in order to get back on their feet again, they have to work harder and spend less. It's a little different with a country because they have this printing press and they're able to tax people, but there is a limit. But the economic law is the same for the country as it is for the individual. The country eventually has to live beneath its means, and that's what we're witnessing now. And it usually hits some people more than others. So the middle class and the poor get hit the first. They lose their jobs, and they're hurt the most through the inflation. The very wealthy, actually, there's a transfer of wealth. This has been argued by Austrian economists for decades, that when you destroy a currency, it erodes the value of the currency, but the middle class suffer the most, and the wealth is accumulated by the very rich.
And we see that.
We're seeing doing that, and what does it do? It drives up resentment. You know, and if they don't fully understand this, the middle class who's getting wiped out, they only have anger, and they might strike out at everybody who has wealth rather than the wealth that has been accumulated because of the government programs.
And the social engineers, as you know, Dr. Paul, Congressman, they're fully aware of that, the pressure from above and below. And so right when they got rid of the Glass-Steagall 11 years ago, we start seeing RAND Corporation reports. We start seeing Department of Defense reports saying we've got to basically set up a police state because there's a danger of social unrest coming because of the dwindling middle class. And now we see a British Ministry of Defense report saying the same thing in 2007, and lo and behold, now Homeland Security's putting in 9,000 locations, telescreens saying watch your neighbors. Three new videos were released yesterday, frightening videos by Homeland Security airing on TV. They're up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com if listeners want to see it or if the congressman hasn't seen it. And it's got people in shopping malls and on the streets, and it shows DHS, TSA on the streets searching people, and it says we're going to protect you, but we need you to watch your neighbors. I mean, clearly they're trying to bring in an authoritarian system, not for Al-Qaeda or these overseas reported threats, but they're now shifting it over to domestic groups. And we saw that attempt to attack conservatives and libertarians and yourself and myself and even Sarah Palin and Rush Limbaugh and talk radio and the First Amendment after the tragic shooting. So can you speak to that, sir, and this and this conscious movement towards authoritarianism?
Well, there's no doubt about it, and you're absolutely right about the disruption that comes to the communities because it is there. Most major changes occur, you know, domestically. You know, we take an oath of office to obey the Constitution and defend it against enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, you know, I usually make that point, and even in the very, very patriotic crowds and veterans, which you think would be more hawkish, if you emphasize, you know, the domestic threat, they understand this. So, but I think we're actually winning this argument about this need for militarism around the world to protect ourselves, and that we have to worry about domestically because people are getting tired of having somebody from the government check every single thing. You know, back again to China, you can start businesses easier in China than here. So people who have land, people who want to start a business, people who have to pay these high taxes and pay for all these regulations, they're starting to realize this. So I think there's a healthy resistance developing. But like you point out, there is some danger here, and that is, of course, if we get people to understand where the cause comes from, that we might be able to prevent this. See, the one thing, the one coalition that we should build, we talk a lot about the poor getting poorer and the middle class being wiped out, but the left always thinks, well, the answer to that is just more transfer of wealth. But we have to get them to understand that the reason this happens is because government is too big, even though they argue for government programs. The government is too big. They argue for these programs, and guess who lost their homes? The rich got richer, and the poor people lost their homes because of this program. But the other big issue is to make sure that people know that, corporatism is not free market economics, and that's a misunderstanding.
Well, that was my other point, and I'm glad you got into that because we're of the same mind because we've studied history. But quantify that for listeners who may be new. The ultra robber baron, non free market crony capitalist always, as Carol Quigley said at Georgetown, Bill Clinton's mentor, lobby for authoritarianism, whether it's right wing, left wing, fascist, socialist, communist, because they create this big pool of collectivized wealth and they take it offshore. And now the ultra rich are trying to sell the poor people who are losing their jobs on higher taxes and looting their neighbor who's got more money than them, selling them the lie that that's going to give them a good economy when it's freedom that's going to give them a future.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Congressman, we're seeing riots all over the world over global inflation driven by the devaluation of the dollar and other fiat currencies. You've been mentioning unrest here, and clearly we're seeing more and more signs of that here. And I remember you back in Austin giving a speech that I attended 7 years ago. We were talking about it during the break when you first got on, and you warned that when the empire starts collapsing, there's two ways to go. It's either recognize that big government breeds corruption and go the opposite direction towards liberty, but that more often than not, instead, the government's going to sell even more of the same as the solution. And so now is the time to get this out to people. I mean, this is a life and death situation for our republic, is it not?
Yes, and it's hard teaching people some of these lessons in the midst of a crisis, because then, and you can understand the emotions, you know, when law and order breaks down, most people say, well, this just quit the killing, calm down things, you better bring more police in. And that's, you know, a pretty natural response, but not realizing that we have had too many policemen already and too many bureaucrats and too much federal government, too much taxes and all that. So it to me, the earlier the education occurs, the better. I think people have to know and understand why it's in their best interest, that the free market works better. People think that you have to sacrifice and all this. I don't think you have to sacrifice a thing, a freedom. Freedom. If you get your freedom, you don't have to sacrifice anything, because you have your incentives. You can take care of yourself a lot better than the government, and that's a system that has worked. And unfortunately, we're about to give it up, and that's why I fear the day when law and order mm-hmm. breaks down. But or questioning whether there'll be riots in our streets like there have been overseas already. And I suspect that the American people are like other people. And even in the 60s, we had our riots and our shares of problems here. So people will act in a violent manner. And that's up for grabs. And, you know, all factions then will be looking to get the powers and the strings of government. So we have a big job ahead of us.
So we're going into some very stormy waters?
No doubt. It's coming.
Congressman, no doubt you've probably heard about it or seen it, but CNN, MSNBC, Democracy Now, they all singled you and I out specifically and played clips of you speaking in your Texas Straight Talk and clips of my radio/TV show where we talked about the Second Amendment being there, and it's in the Declaration of Independence, it's in the Bill of Rights, to defend against crime on the streets, but also against a tyrannical government. And they have tried to now demonize and imply that you and I and others are the progenitors in an asinine way of what happened in Tucson, which we now know was a schizophrenic who was politically a liberal. I'm not blaming the Democrats. But what do you think about the desperation? We saw Rachel Maddow and others go after your son and tell a laundry list of Dr. Rand Paul. And, of course, that backfired on him, only seemed to boost his approval rating when Clinton went and campaigned against him. Now we see them doing it against you and I because they see us as a threat because we're getting the truth out. What is your view on, A, the ratcheting up of their rhetoric, Congressman Steve Cohen calling Republicans Nazis a few days ago, and the fact that it's backfiring in every case from the polls we're seeing?
Well, there's a limit, and that says something for the American people. Maybe they won't buy into that, but they're certainly going to make the effort. And this is a frustration for me, because I do make a diligent effort to try to work with honest, straightforward people who may be called progressives and liberals, because some of them are decent and they're honest, but they're not these demagogues. And those people who turn on you, their goal is more like the promotion of the Democrat Party or promoting of of government power. So they might say they agree with us on a couple issues, but I sort them out, and some of them, the ones that you're talking about, are just the demagogues who may once say one thing and say, oh yeah, we don't like this, we don't like that, but then they'll turn on you and they'll do anything to maintain their power or to discredit us for what we're doing.
Well, and it's also hypocritical. They're demonizing the First Amendment and talking about fairness doctrine for talk radio, FCC, jurisdiction over the internet. This is all being announced while Matthews is calling white people crackers, Maddow is implying that we're causing violence. The congressman's calling Republicans Nazis. I mean, it's just incredible how they're trying to balkanize and turn the American people against each other. When you look at the polls, liberals, conservatives, libertarians, almost everybody's against the banker bailouts, the wars. I mean, the momentum is shifting towards freedom.
No doubt about that. But there's still a lot of people, and I think that you can say at the grassroots level that is the case. Our problem has been, you know, it's taken a long time to build the bureaucracy. And when you think of these millions of people who are living off the government and work for the government, and they work in Washington, they're embedded into the political system, and so many in Congress, they have all clung to these views that they've held before. But the American people, you know, are further ahead. I think the people are always ahead of the politicians, and hopefully we'll win out on this fight. But unfortunately, the opposition has a lot of guns. Isn't it interesting how they want to take our guns away? But everything that government does depends on a gun.
It's all about...
You know, it's their guns against the guns of the civilians, but you know, whether it's tax collection or telling you whether you can dig a ditch on your land and how you can use your land, you may, you know, be accosted by a federal agent with a gun. Everything they do has to be, you know, enforced with a gun, and it's a threat. So.
Mm-hmm.
They never talk about that kind of gun violence. How often have they been barging into houses, into the wrong houses, with guns blaring and blowing up the places and looking for drugs that didn't exist and not even apologize and never compensate these people and sometimes hurt and kill some of these people, innocent people. And that's the kind of gun violence that ought to be, rejected.
Absolutely. Mao Zedong said political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. Well, we're the people, and that's our check and balance. Congressman, in the 8 minutes we've got left with you, we have a prisonplanet.com, Infowars.com headline. Congressman, senator, or president, as you know, a lot of big scientific polls, the Hill newspaper, the Democratic affiliate, public policy polling, and others are finding that you're in the number one or number two seat to win the Texas Senate race for U.S. Senate, if you so choose.
Well, unfortunately, I'm still very ambivalent about all this. I usually am not ambivalent on my views and what I do and what my plans are, but... It does require a major decision, a personal decision, a family decision, a political decision, all of these things. So I'm pretty undecided on what to do, and I think it through. People keep asking me, do you think about doing this or that? And I admit it, I do. I think about it all the time, not only because I wonder what I'm going to do the rest of my life, but I often think about it because when I get on radio talk shows, they ask me these kind of questions. But I'm still pretty undecided on what I should do and what I can do and what I'll end up doing.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, he is the number one overnight talk show host in the world. He is the second largest talk show host on the planet. But he is the number one overnight in the world, number two worldwide behind Rush Limbaugh, a close second. And, you know, in the age of Anderson Cooper with a million viewers and Glenn Beck, you know, with 3 million on Fox, it's amazing when you talk about media, the only media on this planet of the thousands and thousands of choices on broadcast and mainline media and alternative included, the only audiences that are still mega huge and actually reach giant numbers of people are massive syndicated talk radio. And, of course, he's right up there at the top on Internet as well. And it's great to have somebody like George Norrie, because I admire Art Bell, incredibly well-spoken, very intelligent. I admire him as a broadcaster. But when George Norrie took the show over 7-8 years ago and took the show in a somewhat other direction, started covering a lot of hardcore political issues, forced inoculations, the private Federal Reserve, the Bilderberg Group, Bohemian Grove, George Norrie pulls no punches, censors no one, and no one anywhere in what can be called mainstream media. And of course, he's that crossover. He's both alternative and mainstream. No one can hold a candle to George Norrie. And he's with us for the next 45 minutes. We'll take calls for 15, 20 minutes or so into the next hour. Right now, I've got George all to myself. The website's coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com. Really, probably no stranger to most of you out there, but if you're new listeners out there or haven't given it a listen, it's on 500-plus radio stations across the country. In fact, George, I know the show just keeps growing, even past what Art Bell did. How many stations are you on now, George?
As of yesterday, Alex, my affiliates people sent me my monthly report. We are now on 540 stations in North America, which is an all-time high. And as you were saying, we're the second largest affiliated program in the country. Like a horse race, we're coming around the stretch, and I think we're going to be number one. I really do. I can feel it, and I can see it, and that's our goal. So we've got a hard, dedicated staff, and though we're going right after one of our own syndicated folks, I want to beat him, and that's what we're going to do.
Hey, well, Rush is all about the free market of ideas, and so, in fact, I've even seen industry publications say that if you continue to grow like this, within 6 months to a year, you may eclipse Rush Limbaugh.
That's right. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, and we'll see what happens. And I'll tell you a funny story. Years ago, I was having lunch in Austin, Texas, and I found a black book, a small black book. I opened it up, and it was the Alex Jones playbook of how to do a successful show. And it said, cover the Federal Reserve, cover inoculations. So I took it, and I changed the format.
Did you really find a black book?
No, I'm kidding.
It's a metaphor, yeah. Oh, man, you are something else. Well, look, we have talked a lot about globalist forces, the big mega Davos, George Soros type folks who, you know, we think of it as America versus the Middle East or America versus Russia. No, these globalists want turmoil. They want the strategy of tension. You've talked so much about that. And now we see what's happening in the Middle East and the Muslim Brotherhood openly being funded by our own government, openly calling for an end to the peace treaty with Israel if they take over Egypt. And the whole world is saying, why would our government overthrow their own puppet? They're not trying to bring in a democracy, which I wish they would, or a free society. They're trying to bring in something in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan, in Yemen, in Egypt, that is going to destabilize the entire region. What's your view on that?
Well, there's something very strange going on in the Middle East, Alex. And as you know, I am Middle Eastern. I'm a Christian Lebanese. My father was born in Cairo. My mother, who is Christian Lebanese, was born in Boston, Massachusetts, Fitchburg, actually. I know the Middle East probably better than most national radio talk show hosts. I was raised in it. I mean, we eat the food. We know the culture. Now, I speak broken Arabic. I know the Middle East. And there's a situation out there that is very scary right now, and that is you just don't know who the players are. And by that I mean governments have propped up dictatorship regimes for years. We did it with Saddam Hussein. We've done it with Mubarak. And the people of these countries at this point are fed up with it. Whether they hate America or not, and that we can talk about in a moment, they are fed up with the dictators controlling their destiny. The unemployment rate in Egypt is absolutely ridiculous. Those people of young age, the unemployment rate has got to be over 40 to 50%. People are existing on a few dollars a day, and they're at a point where they said enough is enough. Now, the problem with all this is you just don't know who's instigating, how it started. I mean, we saw what happened in Tunisia weeks ago, And now all of a sudden it's filtered into Yemen, it's filtered into Egypt. And you don't know if the globalists are behind it or not. And it's very frustrating. I think what happened is Mubarak had to go. He's been in power for 30 years. And governments probably said, geez, enough of this guy. Let's get something fresh in here. But the population of those countries took things into their own hands through the power of the Internet, through the power of Facebook, through the power of Twitter, something they've never anticipated before. And these people have organized their own peaceful protests. Now, just yesterday, we saw what happened in Cairo with Mubarak supporters, henchmen, who started causing problems, shooting and everything else. Now the place is in chaos. I think Egypt's going to collapse, and I don't know what direction, honestly, it's going to go.
Well, George, I'm going to put a headline up on the TV screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, but for listeners, the London Telegraph, the Associated Press, they all reported U.S. government. Here's the headline. Egypt protest, America's secret backing for rebel leaders behind uprising, and now it's confirmed. They met a year ago, 6 months ago, and again 3 weeks ago with the Muslim Brotherhood, who are openly now saying they're going to overthrow all of the regimes, including the Jordanians, Saudi leadership, who I'm no fan of any of them. I mean, I've been a big critic of Hosni Mubarak and the black sites and the torture sites and the ghost sites. But at the same time, then you see them maneuvering the Muslim Brotherhood and this El-Baradei, who's this big U.N. chief, who's a globalist, and our government says, oh, we don't really want freedom there. We just want something new. And then now know this group that George Soros funds, the crisis group, is involved. And then suddenly they're announcing, we're going to take over and we're going to break our peace treaty with Israel. And Israel's freaking out. I mean, that looks like the order out of chaos card. Here's a headline today. Muslim Brotherhood wants end to Egypt-Israeli peace deal. I mean, this is some scary stuff, but we know the globalists, again, want to play countries off against each other.
Oh, there's no question about it. Look, my father, when I was growing up as a boy in Detroit, Michigan, was a member of an organization called the Mardin Club. Now, Mardin was in Turkey, and we had a lot of relatives who were also born out there. We're not Turkish, but that's where they were. And in Detroit, they had this building. They had a club. It was called the Mardin Club. And I would go with him. I was 8 years old, 9 years old. I would go with him when they would get together on Friday nights or Saturday nights. And this is what they did. They ate Middle Eastern food. They played Middle Eastern music. They played, well, I thought it was dominoes, but it was a different kind of game. And they just had a great time. There was nothing clandestine. They never talked about overthrowing governments. They loved America. They were immigrants who came here legally. Something strange about the Muslim Brotherhood. It was formed in Egypt a long time ago as a peaceful organization to promote Islam. That's what they wanted to do. That's what their intent was. Along the line, some people infiltrated that organization and started spouting the hatred that we see today.
British intelligence, that's on record. Well, they want to destabilize.
You go to Osama bin Laden. Was basically part of that organization.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
We don't know who to believe anymore. We know a couple things that are true, and that is the globalists want to control this planet. The globalists will do whatever they have to do in order to disrupt all of us. I am so convinced at this point that if every person who hated America for whatever reason said, you know what, we want peace, let's make this work, we're done with violence, I'm convinced the globalists would do things and blame it on those people again. So you don't know who to believe anymore. And I am deathly afraid that this planet is heading toward some kind of massive destruction in terms of political leanings, that there may be nothing we can do except to continue to fight on the air and do what we're doing. I find it amazing that you and I continue to talk without anybody clipping the wires.
Well, that was the next issue I was going to raise. I want to get back into geopolitically what's happening with the dollar devaluation, now putting incredible pressure on countries like Egypt, where right at half the population is on $2 a day. The IMF, World Bank pressuring them to cut the food allotment. 43 million Americans now on food stamps. So the big central banks, the globalists, trigger a political atmosphere that they know is going to cause upheaval in the Middle East and North Africa. Then they roll in with the, quote, revolutionaries, knowing that revolution was already coming, so they're going to use it to put in a new system, and then it looks like it's going to be a system that wants to have war with Israel. So it's proof right there that this unseen hand is now coming out in the open. But I want to get more into that with you, George, in a moment. But first, you brought up censorship. We have the FCC announcing that they want to run the internet and control it. We've got all these diversity czars at the FCC saying they want to restrict free speech. We have MSNBC now saying the Tea Party is like the, quote, Muslim Brotherhood and radical and dangerous. That came out last night with Chris Matthews. We have the White House regulations are calling to restrict free speech. We have the internet kill switch being announced, similar to what we just saw in Egypt. We're now really starting to see a move where don't talk about political stuff or you could cause another Tucson shooting when we know the guy was drugged out of his mind and had nothing to do with politics. We're finally not just seeing an attack on the Second Amendment. We're seeing open trial balloons to go after the First as we go into this global depression. George Norrie, what's your view on that?
Well, first of all, I can't believe, but I had an email after the Tucson tragedy when I called that shooter on the air a whacked out lunatic. And the next day I got an email from a woman who said, how can you do that to him? He's got rights too. And I went, man, these people just don't understand. They just don't understand. Look, there's something. When I was in school, I was told two things. One is, the airwaves belong to the public. The public's interests, convenience, and necessity. They're not owned by me. They're not owned by corporations. The public owns those airwaves. We were under the Fairness Doctrine when I was in broadcasting in 1971. That's a long time ago. It didn't bother me. I mean, I think broadcasters have a responsibility, Alex, to balance their shows. I think if you or if I say something about someone or someone, we should back it up with facts and also give them the opportunity or someone to explain how they feel. There's nothing wrong with that. But what's happened today is everybody's gone in these different tangents, these different directions, and they forgot about the most important thing that has kept American broadcasting so strong. And that is balance. And we just don't have that anymore. When I started tweaking Coast to Coast 8 years ago, I did it for one main reason. This planet was changing and changing very fast, and it needed voices and it needed truth. We still do, as you well know, the ghosts, the UFOs, the Bigfoots, the mysteries. We do all that stuff. I love that. But we had to add the other ingredient. And specifically after 9/11 occurred, regardless of how you believe it happened or who did it, we needed to tweak this program, and I did that. And so I devote the first hour to hard news, breaking issues with a coast-to-coast Alex Jones-type flair to it. I don't want to do what mainstream does. You know, I don't want to. By the time I'm on the air, that stuff's been beaten like a horse, and I don't want to go in that direction. But we will cover those topics, but I think governments are taking a very close look at all kinds of things right now, including a kill switch for the internet, as they saw what happened in Egypt. And I think these are very dangerous times for us.
Well, sure, I agree with you. But you talk about imbalance. When we have J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs knowingly creating trillions in derivatives, knowing it's worthless, selling it to people.
Personally, I'm helping my three children with their mortgages and their car payments because they're my kids. You know, I can't see them tossed out. You know, they've got some problems financially, as most Americans do right now. I have had friends call me asking for $1,000 or $2,000 that they say, I want to borrow. Now, you know, when you lend money to a friend, you're not getting it back. It's gone. And so you do it. But I've never seen a situation where more people were so backed up. And it's not like they're going to bars every night and, you know, going out to party with them.
And the media is telling us everything's great, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what's happening. Those of us who are working, you and me and other people, are doing okay. We're paying our bills. We're buying things once in a while. We're keeping the economy going. I mean, the automobile sales in the U.S. have gone up. People who are working are spending their money, and they're doing okay. But the number of people who aren't working and who aren't okay continues to grow dramatically.
So much of what he's been talking about for decades on radio and what I've been talking about for 16 years is now unfortunately unfolding. And so the credibility of people that cover these type of subjects is really going up. But before we get into that and then come back and take calls, George, for 15, 20 minutes of the next hour, tell us about your books. Tell us about your radio show. Tell us about Coast to Coast AM for folks that may not routinely tune in because, you know, they've got to work during the day. They can always subscribe to Streamlink and listen whenever they want like I do on my iPhone.
Oh, we love Streamlink. It only costs, if you can believe this, 25 cents a day. But, you know, they can get downloads, podcasting, and it's really an exciting facet of listening to the program, along with your terrestrial radio station, which has really been the staple of Coast to Coast over all these years. It continues to grow, Alex. Just yesterday, I signed an extension taking me through 2013, and the network at the same time said, hey, sometime this year, let's talk about a five-year extension beyond that. So, you know, I'm going to end up being the Casey Kasem of radio. I mean, you know, I'm going to just hang in there as long as I can, bringing everybody the truth. We've got a couple books out. My partner for writing, Bill Burns, who does an incredible job doing 98% of the legwork for these things. Worker in the Light and Journey to the Light. The Worker, of course, being the first one in Journey. And I've got another one coming out in the fall with Rosemary Ellen Guiley called Talking to the Dead, which is more like the old traditional coast-to-coast show. But, you know, I've got a twofold goal, and that is, one, stay healthy, because I had a lot of problems, you know, 10 years ago, and I didn't eat right, and I did stupid stuff, and I decided, you know what, enough is this. And I got into a major workout regimen and eating properly and taking natural supplements, and I hope to God we can continue to take natural supplements. But that's the direction I'm going.
Oh, yeah, you're in great shape. And expanding on that, George, you also have done quite a few national TV shows on Sci-Fi Channel and others. I mean, you're doing a lot.
Yeah, I am. Henry Winkler, the Fonz, approached us a couple months ago, and he would like to do a Twilight Zone-type show and said, look, I want you to be Rod Serling. So let's see what he works on. But, you know, the bottom line here is, I want this program to succeed. I want you to succeed for people. I'm going to tell you a funny story. When you, as you know, I go back and forth between St. Louis and Los Angeles. You know, my family's in St. Louis, so I have a chance to go see my kids, my soon-to-be six godchildren. And we just built this little facility in Hawaii, by the way, that I can pop up there and do a show out of there, too. It gives us that flavor way out there. But I'm at my favorite restaurant in St. Louis called the Cafe Napoli. And I'm sitting there. I sit at the corner. And a guy comes in, and he's staring at me. And I'm going, oh, boy, here we go. And a young guy, his name's Corey, and he comes up to me. He goes, oh, my God, it's you. And I said, I figured, oh, I'll sign an autograph. I always do that. Or if they want a picture, I'll do that. You know, it's free. I don't charge for that stuff. I'm not like some of the baseball players. And he comes up to me and he goes, my God, it's you. It's you. And I said, yeah. I put out my hand and he went, God, I love Alex Jones. I went, hey, what?
CoastAM.com. It's George Norrie. And you know, with few guests do I thank them and, you know, kind of butter them up. But I really owe George a lot because I really want to reach people. I want to warn folks about corrupt things that are happening. I get angry about being oppressed. And he's the biggest outlet to ever just give me free reign and to reach 16 million people a night. And I've been on the show probably 60, 70 times. I haven't counted it in the last 7.5 years. And he took a risk putting Alex Jones on him. And we were growing exponentially way back then. Now it just supercharged us like nitrous oxide on a drag racer. And I just want to thank you again, George, for helping me get the word out.
Well, Alex, you earned your way on the Coast to Coast. When I started doing the program, I didn't know who you were. You know, I was in the paranormal, the unusual, and I kept getting emails from people saying, you ought to put talk show host Alex Jones on. And well, at that point, brand new, just replaced Art Bell, Mr. Competitive here, doing what I'm doing. I'm going, God, what do I want to promote another talk show host for? But I started getting more and more and more of these emails, and I said, you know what, I better start listening to this guy. So I Googled you. Up came PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com. I started listening to some of the things you did. And I said, I like this guy. And I said, you know, he's like a little brother to me. And I said, you know, the things he says are right on. And then you and I had that first program, and it just exploded our phone lines. And that's been our relationship ever since, other than when you pushed me into a lake in Austin, Texas.
Hey, you got to stop with that joke. I've had people come up to me on the street and go, why'd you push George Norrie into the pond? And I'm like,
it's
I did.
YouTube. I don't know. I think if you just go into the search on YouTube and go Norrie Falls, you'll see a 7-second clip coming out of the radio station, KLBJ at night, you, me, Dan Heiser, and I hit what I thought was a half-inch puddle of water. They had the sprinklers going on all night. And I hit a half-inch pool of water that ended up being 2 feet deep. And I went right down into it. And right on my face. And I had that big event, as you know, the Talk Fest, the next day. I didn't have any backup clothes. I was soaked to the gills. And Dan Heiser had to go out and buy me clothes. I'm in my hotel room, stark naked, waiting for him to get in there with new shoes, pants, and a shirt. And down come the window washers. They come right down to my level, and I'm standing right in front of them. No clothes on. And the guy just keeps cleaning the window. No big deal.
Well, I just want to say, we just played the video, and I am a good 8 feet from you when you fall down. It's Dan Heiser that's
sure
behind you.
Sure, Harvey Oswald. Sure, you're 8 feet away from me.
Listen, we've only got one more segment with you, but it's a long segment, 12 minutes or so. We're going to talk to Henry, Al, Bell, Noel, and Tony. Quick questions or comments for George Norrie when we come back in this next segment. But what's coming up tonight on Coast to Coast AM? What's coming up in the next few days?
First hour, we'll talk a little bit about Egypt and some other mainstream issues with that coast flavor. And then the full show, a little more coasty tonight as we talk with Dr. Richard Boylan about what he believes to be anti-UFO machines that are flying around all over the planet. So we'll get into that with him. And then Friday, I always dedicate it to some fun, unusual things. We're going to be talking to the people from Ripley's, believe it or not, and then we'll have open lines later on in the program on Friday night out.
We've only got about a minute, but what did you think of that strange UFO over the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem?
Dome of the Rock. Bizarre timing. I mean, things are happening. They're weird. Now, in this particular case, I don't know if it's a sign from above or whether someone's got some drone out there just checking things out. Who knows? But I'm telling you, we get some bizarre things. The strangest story, of course, is the crop formation in Indonesia. Indonesia! I mean, the farmer said he was there 6 hours before and there was nothing there. You can't make it that fast, even with 90 people. It makes no sense.
Yeah, I think they're really gearing up for a fake-type UFO invasion. We know under Project Bluebeam that's there as well, and they've got this Battle of Los Angeles coming out. I mean, they're really pushing it. George Norrie is our guest, coasttocoastam.com. Our sites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We'll be right back after this quick break with your phone calls. Stay with us.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Many have dubbed Ike as the most controversial speaker on the planet. Much of what he's talked about in the last 20 years has unfortunately come true. He deals with this false programmed matrix reality of disinformation we're fed. And his latest book is Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, The Lion Sleeps No More, davidike.com. And David, serious times coming, rebellion worldwide. But the globalists strangely admit that they're behind it. Do they know the rebellion was already coming? So they're trying to trigger it. So kind of like Red Adair would blow up an oil well once it was already on fire to extinguish the flames of revolution. Well, what does David Icke think is happening?
Well, I think what we're seeing, Alex, is a classic reformation or confirmation of something that anyone that wants to understand what's going on in the world must keep at the front of their mind, and that is no situation is ever black and white. It's always, if you're looking for the real truth, it's a shade of gray, and that's what we're looking at here. We have, understandably, a genuine uprising from angry, poverty-stricken, oppressed and suppressed people. But when people are in that situation where, as we talked about before, freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. When you reach that point where you've got nothing to lose if you take certain action, then suddenly you lose your fear, because what have I got to lose? I'm in this situation anyway. Now, because of the massive economic collapse and catastrophe around the world, people in all parts of the world, not just the Middle East, are feeling that, and they're heading closer and closer to that line that says, I've got nothing to lose, let's go. Now, of course, the mind manipulators, because that's what it is in the end, a mind game, a psychological game, they knew that this was coming, and they have got to try to manage it for their own ends. So here we have, Alex, a genuine reaction to this 30 years of suppression and violence and tyranny by this U.S. and no doubt British too, the two go together, tyranny and dictator Mubarak, who has served their interests and served the interests of Israel against the interests of the Palestinians. And that is a genuine reaction, no doubt. But you can see that when you've got a powder keg like that of resentment and oppression that will not take it anymore, then it's very easy to trigger that and then manipulate it. And that's why when the revolution truly comes to America and Britain, as it will, then we involved in any of that need to learn the lessons and become streetwise about the way this thing works. Because how many times, when you look at these so-called people's revolutions, not least in the former Soviet Union, of Georgia, of Ukraine, of the Czech Republic, of Kyrgyzstan, and so on, these color revolutions, as they call them, again and again, it's been shown quite clearly that Rothschild-connected people like George Soros and Zbigniew Brzezinski have been behind them, not least Soros's network of foundations that are not there for philanthropy. They are there to manipulate so-called, on the surface, people's revolutions that are putting their people in power. And you cannot ever judge the true nature of a revolution, its motivation and its background, until we see what has replaced the regime the revolution has removed. And when you look at Georgia and Ukraine and all these places where these Soros networks have been involved in the manipulation, and not only that, the training of people in people's non-cooperation and protest techniques, the people that have gone into place have been invariably people who are front men for the very the globalists and the Soros networks. Classic Georgia, Mikhail Saakashvili, scholarship to the U.S., Columbia Law School, George Washington University, New York law firm, turns up and becomes president of Georgia after the so-called Rose Revolution, manipulated by the Soros foundations. We have this extraordinarily ludicrous situation now in the Ukraine, where I'm speaking next week, where a guy called Viktor Yanukovych was removed after what was claimed to be rigged elections in, I think it was 2004, the so-called Orange Revolution. That very man is now president of the country. So that revolution, of course, changed nothing with hindsight. And when you look at the situation now in Egypt, who turns up not lived in the country for most of his adult life?
Mohammed El-Baradei, the head of the UN.
And who is this man? He's been on the board of the International Crisis Group, which claims on its website to be an independent, non-profit, non-governmental organization committed to preventing and solving deadly conflict, when it's actually there to manipulate regime change in the very way that I'm talking about.
And they
about.
Now admit that they sent him in the week before. They admittedly triggered it. They're bragging about it while publicly saying that they support Mubarak because they know Western support for Mubarak will enrage the populace even more. But then publicly at the same level admit that they're doing it. And so this is what I wanted to ask you, David. I want you to continue. Do you agree with my analysis here? Because I knew this a decade ago because I saw them bragging about it. But now they've come out in Wired magazine, you name it, and admitted Google is NSA software for keyword. They just get you to search the database to put your own information on it, so they literally know what you're thinking and doing. And Google says 93 to 99% of the time, they know where you're going to eat, what you're going to surf, what you're going to do, more than you even know, and they're able to predict the future. It's a scientific crystal ball to a certain extent by tracking mass movements of people, and they knew that there was rebellion against all their dictators forming, and so they're going to trigger it early to then bring their people back in, and that's basically what's happening. But we'll put up on screen those articles about Google. It was now claiming they're getting companies where they can do this. That's what they've been set up to do all along. That's why the globalists are so arrogant, is because they literally do nothing but study humanity and how we operate.
Yeah, well, the International Crisis Group board members, Chairman George Soros, Mohammed El-Baradei, Wesley Clark, say no more, Javier Solana, the NATO Secretary General, as was, Zbigniew Brzezinski is one of their senior advisors, Richard Armitage, for goodness sake, and Prince Turki Al-Faisal, who is a member of the Saudi Arabia royal family, who, of course, love democracy and freedom, which this International Crisis Group is supposed to represent. So you look at that, and it's quite clear that El-Baradei is their man. Now, also, the Daily Telegraph in Britain has been running stories and articles about the fact that some of the people that were that triggered this popular uprising, which in its entirety, that's what it is from the people's point of view, were actually connected to the American embassy in Cairo and came to America and all the rest of it. So you can see how it's being manipulated. And the thing is that people like Brzezinski in his books, they are telling you what's going to happen, disguised as prophecy, if you like.
Kissinger came out on Bloomberg last night and said this is only the first scene in the first act of a play.
That's exactly what I was coming to. Quote, this is only the first scene of the first act of the drama that is played out. That is telling you what's coming. And you see, I've been writing for years about the fact that these Arab oil states and these Arab dictatorships and royal dictatorships were being played like a violin. It was only a matter of time. And again, you come to the shades of gray. Should the dictators and royal tyrannies in Yemen, Algeria, Libya, Jordan, Syria, Morocco, Saudi Arabia... Oh,
stay
yes,
there,
please,
David. We got to break it. Powerful info. We're going to look at the geopolitical map when we come back. By the way, just a broadcast note, joining us Thursday, George Norrie is going to be on the broadcast, giving us his take on what's happening with the world economy and what's happening in Egypt. But I could not concur the piercing understanding of David Icke Moore on this issue. That's why I admire him so much. His research is always so up to date. And piercing is the word, and that's exactly what's happening. Instead of even black or white or gray, it's more of a prism of spectrums and the globalists are riding this tiger of rebellion against their own tyranny, and like judo, using the resistance of the population against them and then throwing it back at them. And so by understanding this, though, we can defeat them. And I want to talk more about their predictive systems, future predicting systems, and how David thinks we counter that. But David, continuing, you got cut off by the break. You were running through the dictatorships that are in the Middle East, North Africa, and where this is going.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Yemen, Algeria, Libya, Jordan, Syria, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Oman, Kuwait. All these are so-called royal dictatorships and tyrannies imposing upon the people. So should they go? Absolutely they should go. But we're back to, and as soon as possible, but we're back to shades of gray. The question is not just should they go, it's what is the agenda for making them go at this time? And, you know, there's a number of things that come from this. If they, as Kissinger has indicated here, they plan to create falling dominoes across the Middle East, first of all, that creates massive upheaval. It creates what? Chaos. What is their technique? Order out of chaos. Now, on one level, this could be very dangerous for places like Israel, but it could also be incredibly beneficial to those that run Israel, and very, very beneficial to those behind this global agenda, because they want the Middle Eastern countries in a state of subordination, and chaos will create that. The other thing is that Where does most of the world's oil come from? It comes from the Middle East. You start whacking domino upheavals across the Middle East and the oil countries, not least the big one, Saudi Arabia. And what are you going to have, Alex? You're going to have an enormous oil crisis, which is going to, of course, knock on to crises and financial crises and industrial crises and living crises throughout global society, which is precisely what they want. Massive problems and upheavals and chaos for which they can offer the solutions of their centralized global fascist Orwellian dictatorship. So it's clear to me that this genuine reaction to this disgraceful, outrageous, evil attack on human society is being managed to bring about the next stage of the attack on human society.
Expanding on that, we know in the last year the IMF and World Bank have ordered all of these third world countries, not just the Middle East, North Africa, to cut through austerity the bread ration, which around half the population of Egypt is on, making $2 or less a day. And so they economically, through globalism, pull the levers, punch the buttons. Then they send in their man on a white horse, who the London Independent calls the savior,
exactly.
This El-Baradei. So it's completely transparent to those that study this and know it, and the globalists are even admitting it. But on a larger front, the Muslim Brotherhood in Jordan, they just reshuffled the government towards them. In Saudi Arabia, everywhere, the Saudis and others are freaking out, realizing the deal they made with the globalists is a deal with the devil, and they want the strategy of tension, the clash of civilizations. They want to get radical Muslims, like they got rid of Saddam and put radical Muslims in Iraq. This is the strategy to then build them up as the enemy and to blame them for the exploding oil prices that were already being triggered via dollar devaluation.
Yeah, that's it. And the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, this is, again, I keep coming back to this today, shades of gray, becoming streetwise. And just because something has a name on the door and appears to stand for something does not mean that at its core it does. I mean, crikey, you look at the classic Orwellian use of names for organizations to give the impression that it's the opposite of what it really is. I mean, for goodness sake, we're talking here about George Soros's Open Society Institute, which is the last thing the Open Society Institute actually wants. So when you look at things like Muslim Brotherhoods, and look at almost any organization that has democracy in it, and you're looking at an organization that wants to take democracy away.
The people perish for lack of knowledge. The people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, as the good book tells us. David Icke, As we went to break, you were starting to get into the first scene and the first act for the New World Order, the global destabilization program, people rioting and protesting in Greece, in Ireland, the Davos, Switzerland meeting last week. They called for $100 trillion in additional taxpayer money to the private banks, an open announcement of world government, all of that smokescreened by what's happening now. David Icke, please continue.
Yeah, I was just finishing off a point, Alex, about the fact that just because something's called something doesn't mean that's what it represents and that's what it stands for, including the Muslim Brotherhood. There's a lot of organizations in the Arab world that actually are fronts for Israel and the United States. Andreas von Bülow, I think you've talked to him yourself over the years, former German minister and an expert in intelligence, especially German intelligence in that whole area.
Andreas von Bülow.
Yeah, I talked to him on the phone for a long time years ago, not long after 9/11, and he was saying he knew for a fact that Abu Nidal, of course, the infamous Arab terrorist, was actually an asset of Mossad. That's how it works.
Yeah, he was the former head of a German intelligence, yeah, and the former German defense minister. He talked about the white supremacists are run by the globalists. The radical Muslims are run by them. The radical black groups, the radical Hispanic groups, all of these groups are there so the government can play the part of the savior.
Yeah, and of course we know the classic stands out like the proverbial is Bin Laden, Osama Bin Laden. We know that he was a front man for the same group. So when we see these names that appear to represent Muslims or appear to represent this or that or the other, we have to just, again, streetwise, shades of gray, just take a step back and let's see if they really do that. And again, we come back to the classic line, really, by their actions shall they be judged. That's what we need to do, not by what they say, but what they do. Another interesting thing, Alex, you know, is that there is this whole deal about what's known as Greater Israel, which is the area that the Israel extremists claim is theirs, the real Israel. And it's interesting, when you look at the map of it, it includes, of course, Israel, Palestine that we see now, but it also includes a great chunk of Egypt going across to Cairo, includes Jordan, includes Lebanon, includes Syria, includes Iraq, includes a great chunk of Saudi Arabia. Now, what we're looking at here, as you look at that map, are all the countries, or many of the countries, that are actually now in possible line for this domino effect that Kissinger was indicating with his quote. And there is an agenda playing out here. And when we look at what's happening in Europe, what's happening in Britain beginning to, what's happening in America, my goodness me, we want more. Not just people on the streets to show the numbers, but also non-cooperation with the system, so the system cannot operate. What would, because it needs us to do that, we must be learning lessons here, Alex, all the time.
This is Alex Jones with five good reasons you should consider buying a solar power generator. Number one, new climate legislation could easily double or triple your electric bill. Number two, our new energy czar wants to control how much power your electric company allows you to have. It's true. Total government control of electricity in the name of smart grid technology is coming. Number three, in some areas of the country, the power grid is dangerously overloaded. And now new socialist legislation is only compounding the problem. Number four, dangerous weather is always a threat to local grids. Every year, thousands of families lose their power from weather-related outages. Number five, a solar power generator provides powerful backup insurance and peace of mind. Folks, I really believe in the solar power generators offered by Solutions from Science, one of my oldest sponsors. You can get more information at www.mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Remember, the government doesn't own the sun, so go to mysolarbackup.com or call 1-877-327-0365.
This is full spectrum dominance, and if people just get angry at the atmosphere created by the engineers, their anger, their focus will be used and shunted and directed into empowering New World Order agendas instead of bringing it down. And that's why what you just said is the absolute paramount heart of everything and the genesis of true human liberty if we're going to have it.
Yeah. Who benefits? Who benefits? Who benefits? We got to keep asking that. Who benefits from this situation? Who benefits from me reacting to this situation like this? And this is why I say we have to get ourselves informed, not just about what size shoes the president of so-and-so takes, not that just that kind of information, much of which we don't really need to know anyway, informed about how the psychological system works, the techniques of mass mind and emotional manipulation, and where this cabal want to take the world. When we understand the basic techniques of mind and psychological manipulation and the goals that are designed to be achieved,
it's like getting your sight
immediately becomes so much more difficult to yeah. scam.
I wanted to do something here that the producers showed me earlier, and that's TweetPsych. That's the website. And if you type in somebody's tweet account, they're monitoring the tweets. The Library of Congress is saving all of them, and they know the psychological profile of your users. You type in the real Alex Jones for tweet, and you scroll down, and most of it is media, social, you know, future, people wanting to know, you know, future trends, learning, positive, conceptual, basically, philosophy, the senses. See, it's all about primordial, about, that's what people are into. They're into primordial, the core of humanity, destiny, enlightenment, awakening. That's who comes to my tweet. And they're tracking them and know who they are. And it's much more detailed with the cable boxes tracking you, the Google tracking you right down to your individual profile. Now, you go to something like Two and a Half Men or Joe Rogan, and, you know, these are nice guys, smart, you know, shows, whatever. You know, I like Joe. He's into awakening. But still, the point is, what is it? It's sex. It's lower senses things. We'll scroll down and show that sex, vast majority. But then they're also into primordial and things like that. So you see some of the same interest media. And if you type in something like Two and a Half Men, it will you know, show you what they're into. This is just one example of how they've gotten us tied into this. The internet is a double-edged sword. They thought they would use it as a worldwide wiretap. DARPA did. Instead, we're using it against them. But we have to understand, they're now bragging that they can predict mass movements almost 100% of the time. How do you deal with something like that, with these super technologies the globalists have, David Icke?
The thing about the internet is that it's given us so many tools to communicate information that these people overwhelmingly do not want communicated. Without the internet, people would not at this point be anything like as informed about what's going on as they are. Therefore, given that the internet was introduced through military technology, etc., for that to be given to the people, if you like, to use for the benefit of awakening and awareness, there must be something absolutely colossal and fundamental in it for them on the other side for that to have been done. And, you know, I think what we need to do is start to look about the reality and from an internet point of view. The internet is actually a collective human mind or an extension of it. Because
we put our thoughts, our dreams, our art, everything in one area.
Yeah, anything that you focus on with mind becomes an extension of mind. And therefore, the collective human mind has an extension now called the World Wide Web, the Internet. And therefore, if you are skilled in understanding how to read this information, and goodness knows the advancement of the computer technology they must have outside.
We can organically do what their supercomputers can do individually. They're trying to mimic the human mind by scanning the web.
What you can do is read the human mind by what the human mind is putting onto the web, an extension.
Yes, stay there, stay there, stay there. Power.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We're wanted to continue rolling deeper into the hour with David. And I got a bunch of callers on hold, but I want to go through them and ask who wants to talk to David specifically or address a question on these general topics. And I know they've been holding, but I won't, you know, want to keep it focused on what we're getting into here. But the field is wide when we're talking to David Icke. DavidIcke.com. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. There is a huge awakening, and we're going to come back and get more into the police state grid, the physical control grid, and take some phone calls in the next long segment. But, David, it's so powerful what we were just talking about in the last segment. Quantify it for those that may not understand. The web is almost like a mirror of what people are really thinking. So the globalists can see our soul. They can see who we really are, just like a thousand-question psychological test can show you something. Well, these are millions of choices we individually make, watching digital TV that tracks us on Twitter, Facebook, you know, Google. They admit they can now, quote, predict mass movement futures 93% of the time, individuals. That's what they're telling us they have. But you're right. I, using the web and seeing things, I can simply go to Shoutcast and tell what people are more interested in, watching the numbers go up. There's simple things like that, but it's much deeper. And the globalists know. That's why I've got Rolling Stone, New York Magazine, Newsweek, all these people calling me, because they're saying, we see your numbers. My radio show, Infowars.com, bigger than MSNBC, a tiny operation. They see what all of us are doing is huge and powerful. They know the awakening's there, and they don't know how to deal with it. That's why Obama's calling for the internet kill switch. That's why worldwide, Australia, England, they are actually scared. David Icke.
Well, when anyone in the public arena, a scientist or whatever, comes out and says, we're working on this technology which years from now could do this, say in terms of computers. They're talking about building quantum computers, the advancement and potential for which to process information is just staggering. It makes the best computers today look like the village idiot. When they're saying it's coming, they might genuinely be telling the truth from their point of view, because they're not aware of what's going on outside of their sphere of knowledge in the secret projects, etc. But things like quantum computers that we're going to have in the future, these guys have got them now. I mean, if we could see the computing technology, information processing technology that they have, we would be staggered at how far ahead of the public arena it is. And what we're doing all the time with the internet, and it's important we use it, massively important. We have to use these things to our advantage and mitigate as much as we can the things that are a disadvantage. But they are receiving, second by second, all over the world, through many and various sources, which these computers can process and put into ordered predicted outcomes on where it's going. People's views, people's minds are being, and the state of their minds are being...
Ten years ago, the Pentagon admitted they have a map of 3D of the entire world already, and they admit with smart dust and all these meters and tracking, they're making the real world searchable like Google.
I mean, the technology they're dealing with is fantastic, but, you know, we must keep coming back to this, I suggest, and that is, for all their technology and for all their know-how, for all the knowledge they have that they keep from the people in general, we have the numbers. We have billions compared with a relative handful at the core of this that are behind it all, and the idea is to keep us in a constant state of divide and rule, fear, confusion and chaos and bewilderment, so that we do not unite. We come back again, Alex, to what I was talking about earlier. It's not just those protesting about various injustices that need to get informed about how the whole thing works and how it's all connected. So do the people in dark suits and uniforms have to understand that they are cogs in a machine which is there to entrap their children and grandchildren. Indeed, in the timescale we're looking at, if we allow it to happen, even themselves, in a an Orwellian global tyranny that would make, George Orwell kind of wince. And not only that, just look at Nazi Germany or communist Russia, Soviet Union, and then add some and then some. And that's what you're looking at. Look at China, one of the blueprints for the global society tyranny they want.
Singapore.
Look at that. Then look your children in the eye, look yourself in the eye and say, what am I doing?
Absolutely.
Leading to this.
People need to get conscious and make decisions and get out of denial, because it's all out in the open now. They just got people to commit to denial, and so people don't want to feel like they were conned, and so people are now buying into torture, secret arrest, checkpoints, and one of the other big mind control systems is role-playing. Oh, it's just civil libertarians that don't like illegal checkpoints or warrantless blood draws. Oh, it's just activists that don't like these wars. Oh, it's just, well, I'm not an activist. Well, I'm not a... People need to see themselves in the role of getting informed, and then as they grow, informing others, because this is a life and death situation. Here's my last point that we're going to jam in a few phone calls from folks that have been patiently holding Ron, Jack, Richard, and John. We'll just have time to get to those. But TSA invades roads, highways with Viper checkpoints. They've got 9,000 locations with telescreens going up in shopping malls, Walmart saying, watch your neighbors. They're approaching every professional I know, my dad, doctors he knows, saying, you know, spy on your neighbors for us. We're Homeland Security. They are rolling out something by every historical yardstick that is super tyranny. And some people are waking up, others are waking up but getting scared, and others are just saying, this is freedom. Warrantless wiretapping, drones, the government taking veterans' death benefits. I mean, it's just, we're already living in incredible looting and stealing that's going on, and they want us to not trust each other and spy on each other instead of looking up the mountain at the globalists. They're the ones we should be watching.
Exactly. And you know, it's what you were talking about just now, I call it labeling. They label people so that you're all, if you like, tarred with the same brush. This is what this Southern Poverty Law Center was trying to do, and the ADL do when they talk about, you believe this? Oh, you're a far-right extremist. Of course, what we're looking at again with the spy on your neighbor is just what we were talking about a few minutes ago. There are too few of them to control and keep surveillance on the population, so they have to get the target population to keep surveillance on each other. This is how it's working. Divide and rule on a massive scale.
The beast is trying to replicate itself and build the army it needs. That's why we've got to build our army of awakening now, so people recognize it.
That's it. And the other thing you mentioned, a very relevant point, is embarrassment. Hey, you know, people, if you believe the world was a certain way and now you're starting to realize it was nothing like that, nothing to be embarrassed about. From cradle to where you are now, you have been bombarded through your education system, through the media, day after day, minute by minute, with a certain view, an information source that tells you certain things are true about yourself, the world, and how it works. And therefore, don't be embarrassed about the fact that you bought it, because almost anyone would buy it. Instead of that, celebrate the fact that you have broken out of it, and let's move on. Instead of, no, it can't be like that because I must have been wrong earlier in my life. We're all wrong earlier in our life until we start to understand what's going on. So get used to it and get on with it.
Absolutely. I liken it to a neighbor who you ask to water your plants, and you come back and your jewelry's all stolen. And then you go, well, it couldn't have been them that did it. And then you haven't washed your house again, and now your TV gets stolen and your computer. Pretty soon you stop having that neighbor watch your stuff. We've just been trained to accept government mega corporations raping and robbing us. Wake up, get off your knees, get out of your trance. Ron in New York, you're on the air with David Icke. We're going through to 30 after, and then we're going to let him go in about 10 minutes. He's been gracious. Go ahead, Ron.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My call today, and I'd like to get both of your opinions on this, deals with the mayor of New York City's latest foray into intruding into Arizona with basically hired contract agents.
Yeah, for those that don't know, they're going to gun shows, doing private sales, telling people, oh, my gosh, we bought guns without a background, knowing that people don't know that it's legal to sell a gun to your neighbor. And what is Bloomberg getting ready to run for president doing? Suing gun manufacturers, going to Arizona, and I meant to get to that. I'm glad you brought it up, Ron. Running around trying to take our guns. Please continue, Ron. But, David, why do they want our guns so bad?
Well, again, it seems to be a theme today. Shades of gray and being streetwise. Personally, I don't own guns. I don't want to own a gun and all the rest of it. And I don't want to resist with guns. I want to resist with nonviolent mass non-cooperation to stop the system working. However, on another level, they know that there's lots of people that are quite okay with using guns to resist. And, of course, if you want to take over from take over a country of people, then if they're not armed from your point of view, that is much more applicable or something you want rather than an armed
let me throw this in because we're almost out of time and I want Ron to be able to finish.
But the point I'm making here, Alex, it's an important one. What I'm saying is, just because people in America, you may not believe in guns, you may not want people to have guns, and there are many people that believe that, and it's a legitimate view, just as having them is a legitimate view. Please see the shades of gray. Don't get caught in the debate of guns or no guns. Get caught in the understanding or the question, why do they want to take the guns from the population now? What's the agenda for that? Who benefits from that from their point of view? Because they want us to get into this gun, no gun debate, because that takes us over here. We need to focus, whether we believe in guns or whether we don't, on why they want to do it now. And it's because they will find that easier from their point of view in their mind to take over an unarmed population rather than an armed one.
David, I want to be able to have Ron counter back and get to some other calls, but let me just myself state this clearly, to use a Star Wars analogy. Obi-Wan Kenobi's not running around with his lightsaber killing innocent people. He uses it in defense. And the issue is, it's a major checkmate that if things get so desperate and they're taking people to put them on trucks to FEMA camps, that if the Germans would have had guns and resisted, that wouldn't have happened. The same thing with Lenin or Stalin. And so I'm nonviolent offensively, but nobody's taking my kids to a FEMA camp, period. And they can't stand it, and they know it, and people need more guns. It's the answer against this tyranny, the counterbalance of power against this paramilitary globalist force, massively in an arms race against the people. Ron in New York, your comment on that.
Okay, my larger point was actually going to be about the spinning and manipulations of the media. I've noticed one thing from all the tapes I've seen where they, you know, have these videotapes supposedly of what took place in Arizona, these sales. And what I have noticed is that you do not see a sale come to fruition, meaning the guy makes a statement about, I can't pass a background check, but you don't actually see somebody transacting, giving him a firearm, and he gives them cash. Now, I've seen this been reported for 2 days now, and I find that unusual, and I begin to wonder whether there even was a transaction. We're just being manipulated.
No, Ron, it's a great point. There is so much lying going on. I appreciate your call. Any other comments on that, David?
Well, I worked in the media for a long time, the BBC and newspapers and radio in Britain. And if anyone saw the inside of a mainstream newsroom in whatever form it is, paper, television, radio, they would never believe a word they read or heard in the media again, because you don't have to be intelligent. There are some intelligent journalists. You don't have to be. It's often a bad career move, and you certainly do not have to be informed. Some of the most uninformed people I've ever met have been professional journalists and professional politicians. And there's also this least line of resistance. If you are a proper journalist and you are interested in the truth, then you are going to constantly be in conflict with those running your media organization who don't want you to cross that line. So there comes a point where to advance the career, to keep the job, to keep the check coming in at the end of the month, you stay within those lines. And what does that mean? You say what is within the acceptable realm and ratio the norms. And if the norm is guns are bad, gun shows bad, then that's how you report it.
Absolutely. And if you play ball, then you ascend in that mainstream media system. But now people are aware of it, so it's falling apart. So the globalists are coming in, trying to restrict the alternative media, and the fight is on.